Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We are talking, continue to talk about this changes everything, everybody. And so what we're talking about here is that really Jesus is, he is not really just an interruption. When Jesus died, when he rose again, it wasn't really just an interruption. An interruption being if you're doing something and something interrupts you, it gets your attention, you stop what you're doing, and then you go back to what you're doing after the interruption. And we would not be here today saying that Jesus is another interruption. We would be declaring today that Jesus is actually a disruption, meaning that he interrupts what you're doing. He interrupted the schedule that was happening in the earth, and he didn't just interrupt death, he disrupted death, meaning that it is no longer what it was. But in Christ Jesus, there's eternal life on the other side of what Jesus did. We're not gathered today around an interruption. We're gathered around the fact that Jesus is the greatest disruption that has ever happened in history. And we just want to say today, if you don't know Jesus, try it. Try it today. Try him. He will disrupt your life for the better. If you're feeling stuck, he'll disrupt your stuckness with freedom. If you're feeling down, he will disrupt your downness, your feeling of hopelessness with hope. If you are just riding on happiness from situation to situation, he will disrupt your happiness with joy. Joy that is not based on your circumstance. Joy that is not based on your situation. Joy that is not based on your feelings. Joy that is based on the steadfast, never changing nature of God. That's who we're gathered around today. And so we're going to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn your Bible there, 2 Corinthians. We got it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 20. This is the Apostle Paul. He wrote 1 Corinthians. We're reading 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, really a letter about unity in the church. Paul was really passionate about seeing the church unified, seeing that the church is a community, that there is not division in the body of Christ. And in moments where there is struggle, where there is pain, it is so important that we operate not as a disjointed family, but actually as one. That we work and we walk together. And that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians. But in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about being united as one, but also being united around one mission. And there's a lot of people talking rubbish about Paul all the time. And he was an apostle, and he was suffering for Christ, and they were questioning whether his suffering for Christ really meant that he was an apostle of Christ, because they thought, why, if you're an apostle of Christ, why are you suffering? Well, in fact, the very reality that he is an apostle and called of God is that he was suffering for God, and that he was living for the glory of God in the earth, which sometimes isn't always comfortable. But Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 20, and we got the big Bible on the screen. You ready? Okay, you ready? Get out your pen, everybody. I got mine. Get out your highlighter. Let's have some fun. Let's break this down. It says, for the love of Christ controls us. Hang on a second. That's a bit manipulative, God. Controls? I don't want to be controlled. This word controls, it actually, Paul's saying that the love of Christ causes me to act. This word controls means to be motivated. And Paul's motivation was the love of Christ. And that is our motive. What really matters is not just what we do, it's actually where we're doing it from. And we're not, this building, listen church, listen. This building isn't going to be here forever. But the love that built this building, that's what will last into eternity. Love is what lasts. Love is what motivates. Because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Who for their sake, died and was raised. And the gift of salvation, Paul is saying the gift of salvation is not just so that we are saved, absolutely, but it's not just to land there. It's actually now that we live a life not for ourselves, that we are a church purpose for others, that we're in the earth. If you are a part of the church, you're God's body in the earth. You're God's representation. And we no longer live for ourselves. And we read on that it says, from now on, therefore, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. The way the world looks at people. No longer do we regard one another according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. And they did. You got to remember when Jesus walked in the earth, for a lot of people, he was just Jesus. You know, just that guy, Jesus, lives down the road. You know, cousin, whatever, friend, son of Joseph, son of Mary. Just that guy. One time when he went to his hometown, they could not receive what he was saying. He had authority. And when you read the Gospel of Mark, you hear that Jesus, the biggest difference between Jesus and those who taught in the synagogue as well, was that he had authority. But even in his authority, people were like, who is this guy? He's just that guy. They regarded him according to the flesh, but we regard him thus no longer. That Christ is the Son of God. And therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everyone say new. Come on, say it like you mean it today. Say new. New creation. The old has passed away. Behold. 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 Look at it. Pay attention to it. Behold, the new has come. Think about beholding is whatever you focus on, you move towards. So whatever you are beholding, you are becoming. Whatever you are fixated on, you're moving towards. So behold, look at it. You are a new creature in Christ. You no longer, do not behold the old you. Behold the new you in Christ. Spend time dwelling on. It's like when I was riding a bike and there was a big pole on the footpath. And as I was riding down this path, I was just about 15 and the traffic pulled up. There was a red light next to me as I was driving down the footpath. There's a pole right there. And all I could think about was don't hit the pole. Don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole. What did I do? I hit the pole. You mean Christianity's not about, no, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. No, Christianity is about what I'm beholding. Who I am in Christ. Behold, the new, everyone say new, has come. And here we go, here we go. All this is from God. It's not from us, it's from God. He initiated it. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. He gave it to us. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us. We have a great responsibility in the earth, a great privilege, a great opportunity, but a great responsibility that God has entrusted to the church. No other group, no other people, the church, the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ. Look at this. We implore you. Now, Paul is reminding, hey, you, hey, you, hey, you. Turn to your neighbor to say, hey, you. Tell him, hey, you, hey, you. We implore you to be reconciled to God. So Lord, we do. We just thank you so much for your word. Let it come alive on the inside of us today. In Jesus' name. They all said one more time, amen. Amen. Ryan, band, get out of here. We love you. Give it up for the band. Thank you so much. They're amazing. So here's the thing. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled. But how do you live in the reality of reconciliation? Here's the thing. We don't do A, B, C to be reconciled. We have been reconciled, everybody. Church, it's done. The work was not from you. The work was from God. And he did it in full. He didn't say to be continued. He said, it is. It's done. It's done. So the work of reconciliation has been done. The message of reconciliation has been given to you and me. It's ours. We own that message. The world can try and talk about it. It's ours. It is our message. The message of God reconciling the world back to himself. That's our message. But the thing of reconciliation is we're not now doing A, B, C to be reconciled. We're reconciled. Now, after being reconciled, receiving that fact, now we do A, B, C. So often when we have a performance Christianity, we think I need to do A, B, C. But actually, no, you need to receive, get better at receiving. Thing about receiving is it takes humility because you didn't do it. You know, when you get a gift, someone buys you a gift. You ever got a gift? Yeah, talk to me. You ever got a gift? Somebody today, buy everybody a gift. When you receive a gift, it's not to your credit, is it? It's like, wow, yeah, I got given this gift. I'm amazing. No, someone else got you the gift. So therefore, to receive takes humility. So the constant posture of somebody who is living in the reality of reconciliation is humility. Humility to receive. Receive what God has done. Can you receive it? When was the last time you just lay down and say, God, I need you. God, I receive forgiveness. God, I receive your grace. God, I receive your love. God, I receive joy today. I receive freedom today. I receive your kindness. I receive that I am a child of God. I receive it. When was the last time you spent time receiving? And not just trying to, I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to take steps and I got to go there and I got to just receive. Get better at receiving. I feel like this needs a little more work. Get good at receiving the gift. Get good at taking it. You know, like when someone buys you something and they spend all this money and time getting it for you, wouldn't it be rude? They go out, they buy the gift, they put the name on the card, they write this special letter to you. Any words of affirmation, people, any words. Your love language is words, and they've got these beautiful words. And then if you're a quality timer, they look at you in the eyes as they give you the gift, and they say, we love you so much. And then you take the gift, and you've got the gift. Wouldn't it be rude if when they were giving, take a step back, when they were giving, you said, no, thanks. No, I'm good. I've got everything I need. That's sometimes what we're like. As a church, sometimes we need to get better at letting God do what God is really good at doing and letting God extend what he's already done to us. The ministry of reconciliation. We are reconciled. But now having received, I live from it. Not to it, I live from it. This is my new position. I don't start unsaved, I start saved. I don't start unforgiven, I start forgiven. How you doing, church? That's where we start. So now I need to remind myself, this is where I start. Every morning, that's why I pray. That's why you need scripture. You need to remind yourself, this is where I start. This is where I belong. I'm a child of God. I'm not what happened yesterday. Today is a new day. And I receive afresh that I belong to Jesus. So we need to live from it. But now to live out reconciliation, what does it look like to live a life of reconciliation? Because sometimes I think that we've got the message of reconciliation and you know, we the message is clear. We put the message out there into the world. But I think sometimes people in the world, people who don't know Jesus, they hear the message of reconciliation, but then they don't see the reality of it in the church. They hear the message, but can they see it in us? The greatest message you will preach is not with words. And one of the pictures of walking in the reality of reconciliation is this word, forgiveness. And I want to talk to you just for a couple minutes here about forgiveness, about the flow of forgiveness. Forgiveness is designed by God to flow. There is a flow to forgiveness. And the thing we need to know about the enemy, the devil, he doesn't like you much, but God loves you. And he can't do a lot. I mean, he can't stop what God has done, right? You with me, Jesse? Yeah. He can't stop it. It's done. But he can come and block our ability to live in what God has already done. He wants to block the flow of forgiveness. Forgiveness is designed to flow in two directions. Vertically, us to God. And then horizontally, us to others. So we actually are designed to live in forgiveness where we are receiving forgiveness and then we are extending forgiveness. If we are only receiving forgiveness and not extending forgiveness, then we don't understand forgiveness. But forgiveness is meant to be something that we receive and extend. Receive and extend. Receive and extend. There's a flow to it. It's not meant to get stopped at one point. There's a flow. There's a flow. Receive and extend. Receive and extend. Yes, to your parents. Receive forgiveness and extend forgiveness. Yes, to your children. Receive forgiveness and extend forgiveness. Yes, to your work colleagues. Yes, to your boss. Yes, to that person that really offended you in traffic today. Receive and extend. That is the rhythm of the gospel in our lives. And when we have the two happening, we have the flow of forgiveness. But the flow has got a flow. Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So just as in Christ God forgave you, vertical, horizontal, forgiving each other, we need to receive forgiveness on a regular basis. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sin to him, he is just and faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgiveness is the place we start with God. That when there is sin in our life, because there will be, any perfect people here today? If you are, put a chair up the back end of the service, we'll line up and ask you lots of questions. There's no perfect people here today. Church is not full of perfect people. It's full of forgiven people. But you need to live in that forgiveness on a daily basis. Why? Because we suck a bit. We do. And we have things in our lives. I mean, you might be getting free in one area, in one room of your life, and you might have got like freedom in that place, but then you might have another room in your life that needs some more work. And that's, guess what, guys? Guess what? Everybody. That's actually okay. That's actually how God works. God is very kind. He doesn't come in and say, fix these 39 things all in one go. He just comes to this room. He'll come to your family room. He'll come to your finance room. He'll come to that past hurt room. He'll come to what someone said about you once upon a time room. He'll come to your school room. And maybe some of us, we're adults, but there was bullying in school. There's all sorts of things still with us. God will work through bringing forgiveness and healing room by room by room by room by room all the way till we are with him face to face. It's called sanctification. It's the process. But what we have to do, our job is just to keep coming back. Don't run from the thing that can heal you. Stop running from Dr. Jesus. Bring the hurt, bring the pain, bring the regret, bring the curse, bring the thing that seems to have a bind on your life, bring it to him. King Jesus isn't afraid of anything. come to Jesus with that thing. Let him be. I remember this guy. He stepped on a sea urchin. Anyone notice? You know what a sea urchin is? Wow. He's walking down the rocks on the beach, stepped on a sea urchin. Big, ugly sea urchin. About this much of the urchin went in his foot, like that much. That's long. Can you see that online? Zoom in. Amen. That much. That's big. And he got the rest of the stuff, but then he said, you know what? I'm fine. I'm a real man. I'm good. And he just went on. He didn't get the rest out, didn't dig the rest out, just carried on with a little bit of he called it swag, but it was a limp. And so he's walking around and he had this limp for 2 days, didn't do anything about it. 3 days, didn't do anything about it. 4 days, just let it go. 5 days, let it go. 6, let it go. Let it go, let it go. 7 days, 8 days. Finally, he has stopped in his tracks because he took his shoes and socks off on that foot and his whole foot was black. It was done. Thankfully, he was able to get it looked after by the doctor and they dug it out and his foot's fine. But this is sometimes what it's like when we've got something lodged in our soul. 70 times 7 is the amount of forgiveness there is in God. Do you know what 7? Peter said, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my friend who keeps hurting me? How many times? 7? And he's like saying that boastfully. He's saying, Jesus, 7? Because 7 is a big number. 7's like, whoa, bro, you are so holy. 7 times. And Jesus says, Peter, 70 times 7, which literally means unlimited. There is never a shortage of forgiveness for your life. The only reason you might be experiencing a shortage of it is you're not coming back to the place where you get it from. You're going to people, you're going to social media, you're going to the news, going to all these places to process unforgiveness. Don't take it there. They can't help you. Jesus can. The blood of Jesus can wash and make you white as snow. The blood of Jesus can heal and mend every broken place in your life. So what do you do when you've got unforgiveness? What do you do when you've got bitter waters? You come back to the cross and you let Jesus do the work. Sin dislocates us. That's why God said to Adam and Eve in the garden when they had sinned, God said, "Where are you?" Did God say, "Where are you?" Because he didn't know, right? Was God like, "Oh my gosh, I've lost them. Whoops." He said, "Where are you?" for their sake, because they had been dislocated. They had lost the location that they needed to be in, the position that they were designed to be in. You were designed to be in position, rightfully flowing in forgiveness and love and grace and relationship with God. Sin dislocates us. You ever dislocated a joint, anybody? Yeah. I mean, the feeling when it goes back into place. What is that feeling? It is a feeling of relief. Everybody, just do a big exhale. Just go, That's what it's like when you receive the forgiveness of God. It's like this. And maybe you got some things on the inside that you're just playing with, just trying to sort out, fix, just every night. Analyzing, trying to understand it. Talking about this, talking about this. You know what it's like when you bring it to Jesus? You can let go. And you can allow forgiveness to heal and wash any addiction. Any stronghold in your life, the blood of Jesus washes and makes it white as snow if you keep coming back. So we receive forgiveness vertically. We must then extend forgiveness horizontally. So much of what we read in Scripture, here's what's crazy. There is a link in Scripture that when we don't forgive others, it creates a blockage in our forgiveness before God. That when we don't extend what we have received, it causes blockage. Matthew 6, 14-15, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How you're doing? You doing all right? This is Jesus talking. And when you stand praying, when you're praying, listen, when you're doing something spiritual, if you are praying, but you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Luke 6:37, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. There is a connection between our ability to extend forgiveness and for there to be no blockage between us and God. So look at this parable. Look at this parable. Matthew 18:21 to 35. Because here's the deal, everybody. We're going to have to forgive each other all the time. If you have family, if you're married, if you got cousins, if you got friends, if you're on a sports team, if you work somewhere, if you do anything in this life, you're going to have to forgive people. People are offensive. That's why. Why does the devil use offense so much? Why? Because it creates blockage. He knows if he can get us living outside of the spirit of reconciliation, which is forgiveness, he can get into our vertical connection with God, and it blocks our prayer life, and it blocks our confidence coming to God. So he wants to mess with our relationships, and what he wants to do is he wants to stop the flow of forgiveness. That's what he wants to do in your relationships. He's not worried about trying to get your relationships to be perfect, and God's not worried about your relationships being perfect. The thing that makes relationships great is not perfection. It is the flow of forgiveness. Receiving and extending, receiving and extending, receiving and extending forgiveness every flipping day, every day. Look what it says. This is Jesus again in Matthew, Gospel of Matthew 18, 21 to 35. And I'm nearly done. It says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, this is what I said before. How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Then he tells this parable, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. By the way, that is equivalent of £1 billion. Jesus used hyperbole. He just goes, £1 billion. That's a crazy amount. Was brought to him, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and set him up with like an afterpay plan, you know, like, we'll just slow it down. We'll give you a bit of space, but you know. Are we reading the... Cancelled the debt. Which reminds me of what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't make a payment plan for you. He cancelled your debt. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And let him go. He let him go. But when, listen to this guy. What is up with this guy? But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, which is nothing in comparison to £1 billion. It was little. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Who is this guy? His fellow servant fell to his knees, did exactly what he had done, and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Church, this is the reality of the ministry of reconciliation. You have received forgiveness in full, cancelled all your debt. You owe God nothing but your positioning in Him. That from this place, having received it all, that you would now give what you've been given. Why don't you close your eyes with me? Two things we're going to do right now. Number one, if you're here today and you've never received the forgiveness of God in your life, you've never come to Jesus, come to that cross and said, "Lord, I've tried everything, but I need to turn to you today." If that's you, come and turn to God. Come and just find that forgiveness. All you need to do is turn. You don't need to do seven things here, there, and everywhere. All you need to do is turn to God. If that is you today, I want you to turn to God. We're going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to help you and help you in this journey of following Jesus. That's the first thing. We're going to do that right now. The second thing is that we're going to take a moment after we've prayed that prayer. We're going to stand up and we're going to forgive whoever we need to forgive. And we're going to come to God and ask for forgiveness for whatever we need forgiveness for. And then we're going to go. So right now, if you need to put your faith in Jesus, you need that forgiveness to flow vertically in your life. I want you to raise your hand, count of three, if that's you. One, two, three. Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Who else is there today saying, "That's me"? Thank you. Anybody else is saying, "That's me"? That's me. Anybody else? I need to receive eternal life today. I need to receive forgiveness. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Well done. Beautiful. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Don't worry. Just come to God. He loves you. He loves you. Just come. Just come. We're not going to take you anywhere. Just going to lead you in this prayer. Help you on this journey. Just come. If that's you, just come to Jesus. If you're online, let us know online. If that's you, just come to Jesus. Come today. Receive forgiveness. Anybody else? If you're raising your hand, raise it up. Raise it up. That's you. Just a couple more seconds. I feel like just a couple more seconds, church. Just a couple more. Just stay with me. We're nearly there. Anybody else? Anybody else? So good. Let's pray this prayer together. We're going to say it as a family, as a church. Everybody say this with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I turn from sin. I turn to you. Today, I receive forgiveness. I receive eternal life. I receive a new beginning. And I thank you that I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Can we put our hands together for everyone? Pray that prayer. Can you stand up? If you pray that prayer, our team will come and say hi to you. Do whatever they can to help. Church, as we close, it's 1 minute. I want you to reach out to God. Who do you need to forgive? What do you need forgiveness for? Come and get it. Come and get it. Come and get it. Come now. So we sing this song one more time.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.